Welcome to Convos and Cocktails. I'm your host, Lesego Tlhabi, and I've brought you here to learn a little bit, relax, drink a little bit. And my guest today, Sipho Mutshi for the babies, and please say the babies.
Okay, it's Mutshi for one baby.
Oh.
Say the one baby.
Okay.
It's a whole rebrand. Look, it takes time, but I think it's sinking
in. Yeah, but you also let us know. Did you give an announcement?
People know.
Oh, okay. My bad. Mutshi for the baby, and the baby is Wendy.
Absolutely.
Mutshi, what are we drinking today? What cocktail have you bought for us?
Henny and some things going on out here.
Henny and some things. I actually like that name.
Henny and some things. Exactly.
Cheers.
So cheers to Henny and the things.
Let's taste because. Okay.
That's
I was
good.
Very scared about the Henny part because I don't like whiskeys and cognac. I don't even know which family it falls under. But
that would be too strong.
It's okay, yeah. The last one I had was just whiskey. Like, you know when you feel like you're going to breathe and then it's just...
That's not a cocktail. That's just people make a shot and then decide to do
yeah.
random
things. Sure, we need
things.
Some juice so we don't... Yeah, exactly. So we're alcoholics.
You can make a cocktail out of anything.
I mean,
any sort of liquor, brown or white liquor, whatever you just all portion control and how you mix it.
Portion control, okay. Anyway, Sipho is I forgot to introduce you. You're a podcaster, you're a writer, you're a producer,
you're
a boyfriend. What else?
I'm also a brother, I'm a son.
A son. People put that on their bios. I hate that shit. Brother, son. I'm like, yeah.
Mang,
is
son.
That about you? Come on. Anyway, Sips, I brought you here for some dating, hey?
Yeah, bro. If people think you seem I'm very
you're the guy
mature.
Now with the answers.
I don't know. I think I have a brand out there that says I'm very mature, which is great for me.
That's not why I brought you. Personally, it wasn't maturity.
Well, I'm telling you right now, the streets think okay. I'm mature.
For me, it was the level of banter,
right.
They say in Love Island. But also, you have transitioned from previously single man.
Yes.
Into loved up Mutshi for one baby, as you said.
Yes, sir.
So clearly you have some answers.
Of course.
You got the answers, Sway.
I've been out here for a minute.
But you also were before, you know?
I've seen them come and go.
Seasons change.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So without further ado, I'm going to ask you some questions. It's just a chat, né? And to Wendy, please. This is not about you, né? This is proceeding. Okay. And also just general opinion. You're the
of
guy.
Of course. But I mean, baby, you don't have to watch this. Go. I think there's a new episode of Love Island.
Well, or she something. Does have to watch. It'll be very unfair if she didn't watch for me, for
no,
her
she's
friend.
She's tuned in, eh, baby?
Also, hey, my baby. People think I don't have one just because I don't talk about it. Hi, baby.
Who's your baby?
Anyway. All right, guys. The first question, what's going on?
What's going on
nah,
where?
Just generally, what the fuck's going on? Everybody like literally is just like, why are men...
Full stop. That's the question mark. Why are men?
Why are men?
Question mark.
Why Lily Saw? Actually, that's exactly what the first question said. I even posted that one. I was like, okay, guys, generally this theme, like, but why?
Yeah, and no, I think we're living in some troubled times. I feel like we're living in the most double down era of all time.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like whatever it is that's going on, whatever we thought was shitty has just become shittier.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know what I mean?
But is it like that or is it generally, because we also have like, grandfathers who had other children, other homes.
Yeah.
So is it worse or is social media and like just the fact that we know about it more? What like?
Yeah, so when I say double down, that's what I mean. People have always been shitty.
Mm.
So now that they're shitty, like in front of camera,
yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? We've got, you can monitor people's movements all the time. So people are a little bit more creative about how they leave the house.
Yeah.
What's the thing that some comedian had said that, you know, back in the day, like his parents wouldn't speak to each other the whole day
mm-hmm.
because there was no phones. So the dad would go to work in the morning like at 6
mm-hmm.
come back at 6 and for those 12 hours there was no conversation
yeah.
But it wasn't just that there was no conversation, there was also no contact or no knowing anything.
Exactly.
You could send another family 3 streets away.
Which they did.
You know what I mean? Like you didn't have to go to like have a family in KZN mm-hmm. and then another one in PE or whatever. No, you could literally just 3 streets away and there's like literally nobody will ever find out.
And I think that still happens though. Let me tell you something about the streets since you've retired. People are cheating next door.
Yeah.
Ubabu Jola next door. It's like, it's a real thing that's happening.
Access.
Okay, but I do want to talk about cheating now because that was like the most asked question.
Is that not the most spoken about thing on social media?
Because why? What is going on? What is the level? Why do people... Okay, so the one question that I wanted to start with is like, why do people pursue men? I mean, look, ladies cheat too, but this is not the time. I'll speak to a lady later on in the season. Why do guys cheat at the rate they do? Or why do you guys pursue relationships? just to cheat.
Okay, so first of all, I don't speak for all guys.
I know. Just to put it you're out just, there. Look, you're just an example. I actually, disclaimer, yeah. Sipo's one of the good ones. And I mean that for real.
No, but also, I don't want to be one of the good ones. I'm just, I don't speak for all guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nor am I pretending to be a perfect person or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I speak also knowing the actual truth of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there's no reality where I'm like, what are you talking about, man? You know what I'm saying? So we're just going to put that aside so people don't like start to ask, who am I speaking for or whatnot. Mm. We're speaking in general because there's a general thing that's actually happening. But of course, niggas be out here slanging. You know what I'm saying? Niggas is out here slanging. They slanging on the streets. They slanging their bodies. And it's not for crack.
The thing is, I knew. I said, I'm wearing makeup. Crack. At some point, my lashes will fall off. Or this is so boring. This happened when we did the Kells thing as well.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I was like, I'm bored. Anyway.
You know what I mean? So it's I can't put it down to one thing as to why men cheat so much. But I don't know. I think maybe it goes back to just how men are raised in this world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How men are told about who they are, their place in this world.
Yeah.
From the time that we're born. You know what I'm saying? We're always the most important kid. You know what I'm saying?
The one who never has to touch a dish.
If that's there, you know what I'm saying? You're brought up to feel like a king. Mm-hmm. And like a king, you know what I'm saying? You have 72 wives. So it's that small as to why society is the way that it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Why are men the most, we can say the worst things in the world, and the forefront of it would always be men. Mm-hmm. Every complex that we have in this world, every problem that we have, for some reason, it exists that niggas be out here, committing the crimes. And I think for me, it boils down to as simple as just how we raise men in society and how we treat them. We're born into this world made to feel like kings. We're born into this world to make you feel like one day as a king, you will find a queen. You know, you'll find many queens.
Yeah. If you behave, well, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and you can always do whatever you want, but the queen must always be at home. The queen will always come back to you. Mm-hmm. And as men get older, like these are the teachings that men are given out on the streets by other men, older men. Our fathers say this to their children, to their own sons. Grandfathers say this to their own grandsons. Uguti, you know what I'm saying? Like, same thing that they tell a woman when she gets married and they huddle around her and they tell her, Uguti,
if anyone does that to me, I'll punch
basically the Begazela, you know what I'm saying? The Begazela culture comes
as
from.
As long as he comes home.
Like, we have to think that all these small things do something to men psychologically. Yeah. So at some point, you're going to grow up and you're going to think, especially if you feel inferior, mm-hmm. that you were promised this kingship.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's no throne when you get there. So mm-hmm. that's when you start taking. And because, we treat each other like children as men. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? The vicious circle of you have nothing as a small boy and the older guys take from you. Yeah. And you get older and you also take from the smaller guys type situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's this whole, I will have the hottest girl in the mm-hmm. world. I will have the most desired woman, but I must wait until I get money. So until then, I need to keep quiet. And if somebody comes to take my girl, I must assume that this guy has got the cash. So that's why many girls are always saying shit like that. They've never really healed from the high school breakup.
Yeah, but they do. I mean? So actually, one of the other questions about this was like, when do men actually get shit? Because they were like, boys are always like hot on the sleeve, you know, like singing love songs and like whatever in Valentine's high school, maybe primary school actually. Something happens. Maybe at puberty. I don't know if you guys get a chat. If it happens when there's a, what is it called? Initiations or whatever it is. I don't want to name specific things because, just have the whole march outside the window. But when does the break happen when niggas stop believing and stop being like all wide eyed?
Yeah, it does happen. Like I said, it starts from birth in general in all its more small ways and problematic ways. And the boy child is always let go and to roam the world and find, you know what I'm saying? Or a 6 year old who can roam the earth to see what he wants to go. Yeah. And like a 16 year old girl who can barely leave, like past the gates.
Exactly. 21 year old, bro.
You know what I'm saying? But that itself, actually, just for 1 second, comes from the fact that, you know, men are always telling their sisters, whatever, don't go there, don't do this, don't, fathers are overprotective over their daughters because they know what men are like. You know what I'm saying? They're not protecting, it's not a fear of, it's an actual fear, but not letting her go means she's going to meet men like you outside.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So now what about the woman this woman next to you, who's someone else's daughter?
Why does that? It's always somebody else's daughter. Why does that not, it's never your daughter.
That kindness not extend itself?
That's what I'm saying. It's always somebody else's daughter. And the next door girls, that's their problem.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Guys will literally leave their own home to go cause problems next door. But tell people, no, don't come home and touch my sister.
Okay.
Because they all understand exactly how men operate. Mm. You know what I'm saying? How it's always conquer and get as many girls as possible. And like I said, it starts more. And the time you're in high school is usually the time where the problems really start. Because this is when now people are hitting puberty. Now it's, do you have a girlfriend? It's, you're in high school. It's your first taste of pursuing a girl.
Yeah.
And it's always in group form with guys. Well, it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's at school or the hood you come up with. And it doesn't matter, rich or poor, of course, we know. There's going to be guys that come around and just to say, yo, man, it's always somehow, no matter what circle of friends, about girls. At some point, it's like, so who's a virgin? Who's not a virgin?
Yeah.
Who's going to break the virginity when? Who's not going to break the virginity? You see that girl over there? I bet you can get her. I bet she can talk to you. It starts with, can you get a number? Can you get her this? Can you? So it becomes this group thing of we are now men and we must now conquer women.
Mm-hmm.
And right from that bad, things start to go south. Because when you're young, just like with everything else, you want to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always trying to impress your friends. So that doesn't stop with women.
Yeah.
Just like you're going to impress your friends with the clothes that you buy and who you are, where you hang out. Are you at the coolest party in high school? Because you're all stupid in high school.
Yeah.
And you think these things matter. But they start small and somehow you have adults that still think that way. Because they thought that way as kids. And they kept that same mentality because they kept that same type of people around them.
And that's why also I feel like men kind of date incompatibly.
Yeah.
Like you said, it would mainly be about the looks or about the status or about what this person being next to me gives you. Cause like I've seen it in the workplace as well. I know a lot of guys get married because promotions happen. People are like, oh, he's responsible for a family. Let's give him more. But that I feel like a lot of guys I know end up with someone that's just like not their type. And then for whatever reason, maybe she's just pretty, but she's not interesting, or she's really interesting when she's, or she's not, but she doesn't go out. So she won't mess with me when I go out.
Yeah.
But they always end up with, and then their type is the one that becomes.
My quaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and again, it's because men care so much about, we care so much about what people think about the women that we have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the girl that they want, that is the most outgoing, let's say, the one that they go cheat with, the one that they find at the club, if it's the girls dancing on the table, the free spirited girl that everybody calls a slut. You know what I'm saying? He likes her personality, and but he won't get with her because people are going to be like, so that girl, that's the girl that you want? And then his heart is like, yeah, but are you guys talking to Tabi Singh? She be like,
chill. You know, and you and Tabi Singh would find a way.
She's got the personality, she's got the this. So you find that guys are attracted, of course, to these women that seem unattainable in a way, because she's so hot and she's so this. So not many guys can touch her, but he's feeling like, you know, if I get to have that woman around me, then she gets to be, I would never wife her, but definitely I would date her.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And the wife at home is the woman that I got. So other people who I respect and that look at me as a respectable man in society can look at me and say, oh, he got himself a respectable wife.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's the lady who, even if she works, she could be anything, any profession you could imagine, including a housewife, but she's got the tie and the material that people will say, the wife material.
The one who doesn't go out and
Exactly. He's not going to take and be saying to meet his mom, even though deep down inside that's what he wants.
Yeah.
But he'll take the lady on the street who seems well to do, you know what I'm saying, well kept, the version of society that they say this is a wife material,
or
this is a respectable woman amongst people. So that's how it happens. But then, you're right, character wise, it's not the person.
Okay.
Character-wise, not the person. Because when you think about
That's why I'm like, because why not just state your type? Like, I know the other stuff about, you know, this person must look at you and must respect you. But how are you at home just completely unattracted to or bored by or just disinterested in this person?
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the age old question that I don't know. Maybe it'll take another century or so to answer, but it's difficult to put into words why some men are okay doing it that. But it boils down to the fact that, again, you're promised these things about a wife when you're a kid. You're not told that you're going to find a partner, someone who's going to love you and want to be there for you, someone who's going to inspire you, want to protect you and whatever. These aren't the qualities you're ever told to look for. Saying you're going to receive this virgin that's going to fall from the sky, who's going to bear you children and build a home for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then everything else you can do if you want. Mm. But you're going to get this prize that's going to look like a prize. After that, they say you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So the lesson from start is always not, this is what you should look for in a partner. Mm-hmm. I've never personally been told as a child at any given time by any men in my family what qualities to look for in a wife. you know what I'm saying? Never. No one has ever told me.
And then you found
it. You know what I'm saying? But no one has ever actually set me down and be like, hey, let me tell you about when you grow older or what you should look for in a girlfriend, what she should be able to do for you. You know what I'm saying? Even as a young kid, no one, not my older brother. And that's not, no shots to anybody. Yeah. I love, you know what I'm saying? Good or otherwise in my family, but that's never happened. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I can
but maybe imagine, that's also a bit of a good thing.
It's a bit because of a good thing, but it's a gamble, right?
Yeah.
Like they gambled with me. I could be a shit person who just does whatever the fuck he wants to whoever he wants. I could be part of the problem in society like many men are. So even all the guys that I know that are decent human beings, when I speak to them, some of my friends, for example, none of them ever told me what anyone ever set me down and told me, this is what a good man is. This is what a good wife is.
Yeah.
If you ever, would you want to get married? If you're ever going to go down this path, but even if you don't want to get married, you're obviously going to date. This is how you treat a woman. This is what she must do for you as well. This is how she must, what a partner must actually make you feel. You grow, you, it's trial and error. Yeah. And then you're like, oh shit, man. I realize now that I don't like this type of person or this type of person. This is what I actually want. This person actually aligns with my life. Like you find those things up because you're an adult who must now think for yourself. Mm. But as a kid, those things are not instilled in us.
Yeah.
Again, it's all sound, you're basically promised a doll.
Mm-hmm.
Not a human being.
Exactly.
So everybody goes out looking for
that you own.
Exactly.
Because it comes with the ownership thing as well. Yeah.
You pull the door apart. It's your, you throw it back in the drawer when you're done with it. Mm-hmm. So you're promised this thing. You never promised a person.
Mm. Okay. You know what? You're kind of answering a lot of my questions, but you're also dropping gems. I think you're amateur. I think it's safe to say. It's safe to
look,
say.
At 35 years, I can tell you it's been a struggle.
No, right? On both sides. Okay, let's talk, like, fuck the cheating thing. You know what? It's very personal. I think some people, I think it has to do, you know what? No, I'm losing my brain now. I actually had a topic recently about insecure men. And I feel like a lot of that boils down to that. I feel like just in general, men who feel insecure about their position in society, about their sort of their place versus their girlfriend or wife. So like if your wife makes more or if she's deemed more physically attractive in the world. If you just in general, I feel like if men know that they're shooting, that's when they become most wild. Am I wrong?
When men are?
You know, like if someone feels like they're dating up.
Yeah.
Like they first of all will bring you down to this level to make sure that you don't know how amazing you are.
Yeah.
But I feel like the more insecure a man is, the more wild he acts. I don't know if like secure men are the same as the ones who are doing all the snats.
Absolutely. I mean, in relationships, I can safely say or a guy who's deeply insecure. Yes, he's gotten this girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's maybe he can't believe it that she's here.
Yeah.
So he starts to ask himself how he got her. You know what I'm saying? If, let's say if it's just pure good, he feels like it's just money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And if you're, of course, if you're a guy who makes a lot of money, you're going to attract women to you, all types of women. So it's about which one do you want, right? Yeah. I guess. So this guy is asking himself, because I told you how it is when you're growing up, it's always you look at the older guys and they take whatever they want. And you get older, you feel like now it's your turn to pick and choose as you want. But because you know how guys are and how guys judge, and how guys hunt, if I can use that very wild ass word in this situation. Your insecurities come from the fact that you actually don't, half of the time you're like, you don't believe you deserve this person.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't believe that she's with you. So you think it must be material. So you treat her as if you know, as if deep down inside, you're like, I know you're only with me for my money, but you're still here. So I'm going to treat you like a thing because I feel like you treat me like a thing.
Mm.
Even if somebody was there like, yeah, cool, I was attracted by the money, but I stayed because of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I mean, generally speaking, I don't know if a lot of women want to date somebody who isn't secure and self-sufficient and
literally
a provider in whatever term that means. So yes, we're with you. If you're comfortable, it makes me more comfortable to want to date you. I don't want to date. I don't want a scrub. I don't want to struggle.
Yeah.
I don't struggle. So I saw a video the other day where this lady's like, I take myself on trips. I take myself out to dinner multiple times a week. I take myself on trips multiple times a year.
Yeah.
So if you can't maintain or exceed that, leave me alone.
Absolutely.
Like, and niggas want you to like be okay with like going backwards. I'm like, no, this is what I've done for myself this whole time. So if you're coming into my life, you're adding or let's leave it.
So when guys get this girl that they want, now the other thing that they're battling, of course, is how we're brought up, I guess. Because again, you've been told what the wife must do, what the wife mustn't do. Now you have this person in front of you who you even like.
Mm.
You know, you've attracted and you should get along. But now you remember this bombarding, those words, Zaguti, she must cook, she must clean, she must stay at home. She can't be running around with her girlfriends everywhere. Mm. You're hearing that voice every time. And because you've been conditioned that way, your wife now we're talking new age especially, right? We're living in a different time.
Yeah.
So who's independent, who you found running around and getting it all by herself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then suddenly you want to slow that down because, and he's not doing it just purely out of insecurity or just purely out of what she's scared she might do. Mm-hmm. He's also doing it because of the noise from the men in his life,
yeah,
who are like, oh, so your wife gets to, she went on a girls trip to Dubai. Hi, player.
If someone that's what's
going on in your house. You know what I'm saying? So it's all these small little plants of insecurity that come from, you want other men to feel like you're in control of your house. And then when you tell your woman no, she says no. When you say sit down, she sits down. So it all comes from them. I mean, the number one oppressor of men is men. Mm. Women aren't oppressing men. You know what I'm saying?
Say it again.
Women aren't at a war with men.
No, actually say it again.
You know what I'm saying? The like number one oppressor of men is men. You know what I'm saying? We're at war with each other, really, at the end of the day. We're at war with each other. We're at war with each other at the same time in our friendship groups. Like, the war exists within. By the time that you're relieved from that, you're like, you know, you're dizzy even on some, okay, I gotta go get this money and these hoes and these, like, everything. Yeah. I don't even know what to think anymore. But like I said, it doesn't happen over, like I said, it doesn't happen one overnight. Mm-hmm. So, because you're a grown ass man, but yeah, it's this the entire life. There's something that's being said, and that's drawing you to do certain things. And when you get older, people are, now the question becomes: okay, you're older now, you're wiser. Mm-hmm. Why are you still behaving the way that you behave?
Because, but also, I don't believe in older wiser. Like, for me, some of the dumbest, stupidest actions I've seen come from the oldest men I know.
Also like, true.
Some of the 60 pluses are the ones who are wiling. It's like, death is coming. Let me just, like, yo, I've seen, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like maturity. I feel like you're either mature or you're just that guy or you're not. It's not going to like suddenly hit you when you're 40 to be like a good guy.
Sure. And I guess maturity is not just being able to make that decision. You have to actually know better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not just, I made a mature decision today. Yeah. Like, hey, look at me. You see that? That was, you also know me not cheating yesterday, right? That's some super mature shit.
Yeah.
So I understand that it all boils down to literally personality and everyone being an individual. But we're in this position because niggas can't let go of each other.
Yeah.
Literally. Niggas just can't let go of each other at any given time. So it's always, it's the simplest thing of when you're a kid and your parents are just telling you, so if your friend jumps over the hill, are you going to jump over as well? You know, and you get in trouble and you just do whatever your friend does or your friend does whatever you do. And it's just like, of course I'm not going to do that. But then sometimes you do and you do, yeah, get over. I don't even know why I did that. Everybody else was doing it. I felt like I was the stupid one who wasn't doing it. Yeah. So I did it. And when you get older, it's a little bit more serious than that now. Cause now it's like, these friends I've been with the entire time. And this is how we roll. This is how everybody else is able to move. Now, what's my level up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when I bring a wife into the circle, even now, there's other dynamics. What kind of wife are you bringing into the circle?
Yeah.
If your friends, let's say, are dating, if you're in a group of guys who are well-to-do, you know what I'm saying? They're all professionals, all making their own money. A few of them start to get wives here and there. Now, the guys who are staying single start to look left and right. He's also making money, but maybe he can't find somebody as yet.
Yeah.
When he starts to look at a wife, he's going to look at his friends' situations for some reason first. And this is where people end up in problems. Because of course, not everybody does that. Mm. But I think where the problem lies is when people behave in those ways.
Yeah.
Where they look around and they like start to feel insecure. The girl that they really like, they feel like doesn't fit in with the girls in the group. Mm. Then they start mistreating women outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's always something strange happening with niggas. That you have to come and take each group at its own, by its own merit and pick it apart and say, oh, okay.
I learned a lot today.
After a while, you can look at each group of guys and be like, I know why you behave this way.
Should you also like, actually, speaking of that, because I do hate the guys who move like packs. You know, yeah, there's like those guys who like just can't do anything without their friends, have like a boss of the, there's always, you know, do you think you should like meet the friends and then you, when you've met the friend, you've met the people? Do you know what I mean? Because I kind of believe that. I feel like I don't know if I would date a guy whose friends are all like horrible to their wives or cheat every weekend or like, I just feel like, why are you the only one who's the good one?
Of course. No, I mean, you can definitely judge people by the company they keep because you're supposed to at some point, and that's a part of growing up.
Mm.
Even if you think that you didn't do anything wrong or whatever, you have to look back at your own time at the times where you were the person who was the problem and your friend stayed with you of that time, or you were the friend that was, or you were the person that had a friend who was a problematic, yeah, person in the group and you were their friend at the time. Mm. There's no point in making excuses because we knew. In those groups, because when the boys are together, there's no problems.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The problem is when people find out.
Yeah.
But niggas are chilling at any given time. Mm. Whatever everyone is doing, everyone is doing. Everybody is ignoring, is living their lives, taking it on. It's like, this nigga's not doing anything wrong. Mm. Until somebody tells you, oh, so, well, where were you this time when this person was happening?
Exactly.
You're like, well, I think I was there. I heard about, I was doing, like, there's always, yeah, but you were there. In general, you were there. So.
And you've been there.
Yeah. So the excuse, there is no excuse outside of everyone must take their own responsibility and take the fact that, at any given time, your friend's actions are gonna reflect poorly on who you are. Going back to what we were saying earlier on, because I think I'm gonna forget. But I was just a tweet that I saw in terms of, like, friends and circles and how guys move. But somebody was asking, I think it's been going on for a few days now, about when did you know that the relationship was over? Mm-hmm. There's a tweet that's been going on like that, and people have the various answers to it. Some silly, as you could imagine, on Twitter. But one particular guy said, he knew the relationship was over when her best friend married a multi-millionaire. You know what I'm saying? He thought to himself, uh-oh, this situation is not a good situation for me. And it's the reverse as well, isn't it? Because when we speak about guys moving together, thinking together similarly, ladies are the same. Because we're both in the good and the bad, right? So in the way that you can look,
you know what? Also, don't worry. This is not like a man bashing thing. I'm going to have a lady. Because we also have, I mean, for me, one of the other things is, why do we stay? Okay, men are doing what they're doing, but the insecurity of staying. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's fair because each conversation is actually different.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking any sort of personal attack offense because these conversations are to be had.
Yeah.
Unless we're talking about a particular relationship situation. You know what I'm saying? That's another situation. But in this, what we're talking about today, I guess it's fair to do it this way.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I thought about that question for, and a lot of guys were agreeing. That's the thing. I went to go read the comments and a lot of people were like, understood. I get it, 100% valid reason. Was mostly guys. And the girls, some of them were like, some of them were like, oh, that's a bit of insecure. Why would you move that way? Why would you? And I could see, the difference in the responses with guys. Almost, I can say, 98% of all the guys that responded that were like, understood.
Okay.
I know exactly why you did it. And the reason for that is what I was saying. Oguti, that guy looked at his situation and his beautiful wife. And his beautiful wife's friend got married to a multi-millionaire. Then married. And now he's thinking about how this changes the entire group dynamics. Yeah. There's now not just a regular, well-to-do guy, but there's a super, he says a multi-millionaire has entered the chat. You know, has entered the villa.
And now, a new hottie has entered the villa. And then there's also comparisons because no matter what people want to say, like, girls are going to compare a little bit. But she got like a Birkin or a diamond or a holiday. They go on holiday twice a year. Baby, we only go to like Sun City in jail, like once every 3 years. Like,
it's not to compare. And you can see it everywhere across. So that comparison starts to affect people differently.
Yeah.
So you can say you respect a guy who looks at that situation and says, look, I don't think this is going to work for me. Yeah. But there's then the deeper problem with that guy, which is when will it be okay then? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When will it be okay? What if your wife, the girl that you're with, what if she just like makes more money than you?
Mm.
Whatever it is that she's doing now, what if she just triples it overnight via promotion or she starts a business and then you just wherever you are in that way, but you can't catch it. What if she becomes a multimillionaire?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's possible.
Because it's possible.
So black women are working.
What the fuck now?
Yeah.
So that insecurity is good to notice, but you have to work on it because it's going to manifest itself somewhere else.
Because also now you're going to keep dating down until
exactly.
That's also probably why men date younger. I mean, there's a lot of manipulation behind their choices
of course,
but I think there's also that thing of like, I remember someone, one of the 60 plus year olds that I was talking about, whose whole thing was like, because his wife or ex-wife, because then they all came in with a new generation of like young hotties in the villa, but was like, you know, she's taken herself to Monaco and or could take herself to wherever. This one I take to Cape Town and she's wow. So that's the other thing about dating, I guess, with guys when they want to date.
There's literally a line from a hip hop song. You know, that's obviously drenched in misogyny, but it's hip hop. So just stick with me for a second.
You ain't talking about me. Like
Chris Fox said. So it's, I think it's, I don't know if it's Dave or Central C, a UK rapper, but he literally says in the track, and it's very new song. He literally says in the track, I love chilling with broke bitches because you book one fly and they get excited as hell. He says that line, right? And if you take that to what you just said, it's real. I mean, like you said, manipulation and everything else aside, that guys want to be in control, dating younger women. There's also that. I think the younger women are by default inexperienced.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're 23 years old dating a 33 year old, this nigga, there's a lot of things that he's gone through in the past 10 years that she's yet to even imagine. You know what I'm saying? And he knows at this stage what the game is really about. She's now just a young impressionable girl. You know, she thinks we know what the eyes, the lens in which she views life at. So all those things that she knows. So he knows that the bare minimum he can do won't make her comfortable outside of everything else. And it's also a plus if she's a 10, right? Yeah. So if she's that, and on top of that, he can, like I said, book that if you can take her to Cape Town once a year, and that's all he has to do. Exactly. That's chilling.
Yeah.
Because if he dates a 33-year-old woman and he can barely get her to Cape Town, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? If she's like, okay, after Cape Town, where else are we going?
Yeah,
because, you know,
like,
I'm trying to touch Egypt, or I'm trying to do this, or actually, I was doing this for myself, by the way, because I'm 33 and I've been working for quite some time now. So unless I've been in a coma for the past decade, I've been making some scratch.
Little.
So guys, even when they make money, it's too much to date a woman on that level, because even at that point, niggas are still, the mentality is not there.
Yeah.
They're not thinking, let me get, because shit, especially if you're making money now in your 30s, that's when guys really start to mature financially.
Yeah.
A lot of them start to come out. Some, you know what I'm saying? The professionals, let me say.
Yeah,
guys who are professionals, they, in their 30s, that's when they really start to see, I can get the car I want, I can get the house I want type situation. And then, of course, I can get the woman I want. So everything just comes in stages. But with guys, it's the stages of things that I can get.
Yeah.
I get the money, I get to make the decisions. You know what I mean? And I'm making that as a generalization, but it's a thing that a lot of men have. And, it varies in terms of like how severe that thing is. It can be an insecure that you feel, you're like, man, I need to do better for my baby though. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, we gotta be living like this. You know, you know, the other girls are, you know, she's working, I gotta do something. There's that honest conversation where you can look a girl in your eye and be like, baby, don't worry. I'm gonna get it to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then there's that, bitch, better stay. I'm gonna actually get in the money. And then that's when the niggas, things get problematic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where he feels like, especially when he doesn't have money, he's already insecure.
Yeah.
And then he starts to get a little bit of money and then goes back into be saying, you know, date her again for whatever reason. Just so he can show her how good to that. Now, actually, I'll switch my phone off. You know what I'm saying? You're still gonna be here. I got money. You don't. Mm. Now I'm gonna go get another girlfriend and I'm gonna rub it in your face. I'm gonna do this. Like, niggas are doing all this, sort of chip off your shoulder. It's this deeply insecure, deep feeling of feeling inadequate that manifests itself in sometimes verbal abuse, physical abuse, financial abuse, neglect, whatever thing that you want to say, cheating, which I guess is emotional abuse.
It's emotional abuse, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it manifests itself in all types of different ways, depending on how severe it is for each nigga. And that is depends on their circle. And the older you get, if there's nobody, if this nigga is a raging lunatic and everybody around, that means all his friends are raging lunatics.
Yeah. That's my thing. Like, I'm like, I don't care.
Like, if this person's like, hey man, this guy can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Then who does he chill with? Who are these people and they're letting him do this? You find out maybe they're broke and he keeps them quiet with money as well.
Exactly. Because so, the ice boy syndrome is a big thing. I'm definitely not going to go into that today, but it's a big thing. Remember, it all continues over on the socials at @Lesego_Tlhabi. Now let's get back into convos and cocktails. Okay, let's just talk now about, I mean, we've covered cheating. Girls, sorry if it's happening to you. Also, now we leave.
We have a leave podcast coming soon.
Leave, get out. Oh, I can't afford that song. Anyway, let's just talk about dating.
Yeah.
Dating 101. Obviously, like we said, you have just hit 2 years.
Yeah.
Cheers. Clink, clink. Before that, we were on the streets. Like, I just knew you were single. However you want to take that, you're the single. The streets is a metaphor. It's
cold and dangerous.
Yo, the streets suck. Anyway, what was your kind of like method in moving? Because I think a lot of women, especially in their 30s, are like, where to meet a single, eligible, nice man?
It's very tricky to answer because then it starts with age group.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk our age group because we're 30 to 40. 39.
Yeah. So people who are trying to date seriously.
Yeah.
Actually find
people. We're now in the some people are married in our group or we're looking for stable relationships.
Yeah.
But maybe still on first marriage vibes.
Yeah. It is definitely very tricky, but I don't know how to apply this principle. For example, there's an old colleague of mine, a white lady that I used to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we're actually having a similar conversation one time back in my employment days.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, one of the black girls had asked something like that, like, oh, it's so hard to meet a guy like who's a professional like I am. Mm-hmm. I don't want to meet somebody who does the exact same job as me, but people in the industry without having to go to like a work conference. Mm-hmm. Like, where do these niggas hang out?
Also, if they hang out at work conferences, let us know.
Yeah.
That if I need to get dressed and go to people's work, like, invite me to the banking.
But socially, you know, you want to be at the bar that it is. And the lady, she had said that, the white lady, remember? So she was saying to her that She grew up in a system where they get told exactly where to go to find the type of men that they want. Mm-hmm. Like as white girls, you know what I'm saying? Or at least wherever she grew up in her society or her neighborhood or whatever circle. And was very simple for them because they, as soon as they were ready to like get married or whatever, they're like, oh, and they all wanted men like in finance. Mm-hmm. And they say that the, for example, like boy invest tech and things like that. And she said they had relationships with the ladies at those, the receptionists and everything and the PAs. Okay. And they would ask them where the men go to have drinks and where they chill socially on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And they just went to those places. It's like, that's how they used to do it. And I was like, that's one basic way to think about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, and she's like, that's how we did it. They tell us, oh, it's like every single one of my friends, we all married. It's like her and her three best friends, if I remember something, were all married to guys who were in finance. Mm-hmm. Two of them from the same company. It's like me and my girl best friend met our husbands like 3 months apart. We started going to these bars that they were telling us, like, and when we were dedicated to going, we'd find them. Mm. So whether you're looking for bankers, where do doctors hang out, or where do guys who spend their money wisely, or not wisely, but amongst people, mm-hmm. amongst their peers, hang out is the easiest way to, I guess, to but try and do it sometimes. But then there's also
that thing where like black women don't get to do that without being called some kind of gold digger or some kind of like white women. You know, there was a time I went to
the gold diggers and it
babes,
is
a, and just it's fine because like exactly. Jesus. But I went to, on a holiday once and we were in Mauritius actually and we met the CEO of like my sister's company where she works. She's an investment banker and then was like with the CEO of where my mom worked at the time. And they were on holiday with each other's families because their son was married to their daughter. And I was like, they keep it here. And they're very strategic about who they date and who they will not date.
Yeah.
But the minute a black woman does that, it's like gold digger, sugar baby. What do they call the sugar dads now? I don't know what they're blesses.
Oh, blesses, yeah.
Blesser culture, whatever, whatever. It's like we don't get to just have and like finer things or prefer who we date or be discerning about not wanting to suffer without being called gold diggers. By the very men who don't even have copper, just by the way.
I think one of the reasons why is because white girls are spoiled for choice. Mm. All their white men are pretty much doing okay. Right for themselves. Yeah. So they don't have to fight over it. You know, they'll call each other names. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it, like a lot of white women, especially if you have a certain place in society, I'm not saying all white people are rich, but if you're from a certain place in society, you're pretty much going to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, you're always going to level up. You know what I'm saying? So they're sitting there, they're thinking, we're all looking for basically a certain type of guy. Mm-hmm. So it's just, we're going to be like, oh, I like guys in finance, or I like guys who are creatives or whatever. They know that this guy's definitely going to have a good job. He's definitely going to be earning well. I have a good job. I don't have to worry about money. They're default gold diggers.
Yeah.
So they don't have to call them gold diggers. You know what I'm saying? But as black people, where we come from, because a lot of us come from nothing. So and a lot of people want nothing. you to keep you there.
Yeah.
And we never kind of leave poverty. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We leave those who make it out. You know what I'm saying?
Get out the hood. There's always one bad decision from going back.
Absolutely. But we never really leave it because not all of us leave at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So you may leave, but your cousins are still there. Mm. You may leave, but your friends are still there. You may leave, but, you know what I'm saying? The reality is that you're always tethered to poverty, one way or another. And it's hard for us to. So because of that, we're constantly reminded to be grounded, to be this, to be in touch with our roots, or whatever. These are things that you use because we're from generational poverty. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Ubuntu, you know, take care of your neighbor because you know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing because we've learned to survive together because of how, because of our history. But we've
also learned that ain't nobody going to get out exactly. If I can't get
when
out.
Somebody tries to scurry.
Crabs you know in a saying? Bucket, bro.
It's come back and now it's when Tabo makes it out the hood and he becomes this actual scientist who makes so much money. The prize, you know what I'm saying? The pride of social Nguve, where he just came from in his street. It becomes one of those things now. He's the most sought after guy. And then who will his wife be? Who will the girls that are going to chase him be? So going to meet people is very difficult because you can, as a black woman, actually you can meet a rich guy anyway.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Literally. So I can't tell you just go to the tennis club or just go to this place or just because you can meet that nigga anyway. He'll also be at Konka.
He'll
also be at the pub with all the.
But he'll never be as overseas.
You know what I'm saying? He'll always come. He'll never leave. You'll find him at the pub in the hood. The guy that's making millions. Mm. He has to go back there because he also has to show them. So where are you going to find this nigga is a very difficult question for the ladies. I think
But I think your first, that lady's advice, Umariki, whatever
it's you want. It's the one.
I think that's the thing. Like be where,
proactive.
You know, 24 Central has a lot of after work drinkers.
Yeah.
Just Santon in general. Go to where the banks are all in one place. The advertising agencies are all around one place. I think just be discerning.
I promise you. PAs are great people to know. Mm-hmm. Executive PAs, great receptionists, front of house. Those are great people to know because they know everything about everything and what everyone does at any given time. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, and they're happy to talk. You know what I'm saying? And they're happy to be let into circles.
Yeah.
So that's one way. That's where a lot of people get their information
and
from.
And also hobbies, hey? Because like you said, tennis.
Absolutely.
Golf. I think paddle now. I'm not even sure what other like.
Yeah, I see niggas is out here these days.
We paddling.
You see niggas jumping on buildings. I say, okay. Niggas is hiking.
Niggas is hobbying.
I know niggas who's straight from the club. The next day I see him, he's hiking. I say, okay, man. Exactly. He's tired of this life. He's trying to get out the hood.
He'll go out with you to keep his, you know, stature.
Absolutely.
But he's also going to hike with Mojanti.
I love the duality of black people. You see it at work.
Okay, so now, what about online askies? What about online dating? Have you ever tried online dating?
I have.
Like I'm from the trenches of online dating. But what was your experiences like on whatever apps you were on?
I was on Tinder, definitely.
Not definitely.
No, in terms of the online, the app to be on. At the time, anyway. But I was on Tinder. Yeah.
Instagram is a dating app, by the way, but we'll get there.
Yeah, apparently LinkedIn is a dating app. So that's the other,
other place where you can hang out.
Find yourself a professional, ladies. Just type in, pick a name you like.
Bankers.
Kevin Moraka and see what the fuck comes up. You know, just throw find a Zulu man, just go Tabo Mula. You know, just throw something in the Ndlovu and see who he comes up, and it might surprise you. There's a Tabo Ndlovu in your area, single as hell.
And working.
And working, you know. Obviously you can see he's employed. You even know his employment record, where he went to school. You get to vet him immediately and just DM him off there.
Because the problem with Tinder, I read a stat, and it might be international, not really South African, but it was like 70% or 60% of men on Tinder are not even single.
That's the other thing. And I've
had one of those experiences, just BT dubs. But how was, what was your experience like?
Yeah, so for cheating ass niggas, it's easy. You know, if they want to go on Tinder,
that's
to just
crazy though, because if I'm swiping and I see your husband, I'm going to screen grab and send it. Like, what? Why are you moving? That's dating in public.
Of course.
That's like going to like Jameli Gonka, whatever, with your side chick and being
100%.
Like,
And the disrespect, you know, can rise when cheating. People can do it in the most underground, covert ways, and can also just be a Jameli.
Yeah.
Like, people, it's hard to try and pinpoint where niggas' respect starts and ends at any given time. But what was I saying now? Online dating. So, yeah, I tried Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have much luck with Tinder with finding a suitable partner, personally.
Mm-hmm. Did you go on dates, though?
Here's my thing about it, right? I left Tinder because at the time that I was on Tinder, 2017, 2018, I remember.
Be very sure of your dates. Like you said.
Yeah, I'm very sure.
2021, 22.
2017, 2018, when I got onto Tinder and I was trying to find out what's what. I realized that we use Tinder differently. Mm-hmm. First of all, so I'm on there trying to find somebody. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what I was actually looking for, but I knew I wanted somebody nice to meet and, you know, the usual chit chat and let's meet up for drinks. Oh, we obviously swiped for each other. So there's something gone here, an attraction. Let's see what's up with it. A friend of mine, or a few friends of mine from overseas that used to come back and forth to Africa. And when they used Tinder, it was very aggressive. They were used to Tinder, obviously, like to hook up.
Yeah.
And they travel. So they were just like, oh no, wherever I'm at.
In South Africa,
I land, as a bit of dough. If I'm in Paris, as a dabda, I meet that girl today, it's not a problem. It's like, that's how, I'm like, oh, the rest of the world is using Tinder more as a hooking up app. Like the way, the gay bros talk about Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to say, that's not for meeting. That's not for relationships.
Like, love
that
of my
is,
life. Yeah.
It's about to go down.
But that's
some grinding.
Exactly what it is now.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's what it was started as, but that's what it is right now. So Tinder was also got of the same vibes, but I realized more overseas than, locally, at the time. Cause even the guys that I knew here were using Tinder were like, yeah, no, I'm trying to date somebody. Oh, I met somebody type situation.
Yeah.
I don't have much luck on it, but also I'm not dating app guy. I tried it.
What is a dating app?
No, because I find it weird.
Yeah.
So I was never that person that would ever go into online dating app. So it took me a while to like try and get Tinder to make a profile. But the point about how
so
I had a terrible time.
Tell me about yourself.
Is that 2017, 2018, locally, at the time also.
You were famous.
Me and my, yes.
Are you?
So I've become very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept meeting people that were fans.
That's a thing, guys. That's a thing. Yeah.
I kept meeting people that were fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. I can't tell you how much I hated it. Because it was like, I mean, You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, that's no way to start a conversation.
I actually went on a date, like, last year or 2 years ago. And, like, after the date, I thought it was, like, pleasant. It wasn't, like, mind-blowing. But I was like, okay, nice guy. Let's try a second date because I feel like he was just nervous. Afterwards, he was like, I don't really want to go on a second date. I just wanted to see what it was like to go on a date with Coconut Kells.
I respect him. At least he made you
No, sure. Not respect. Tell me before that. That's Ogusi, fucking crazy.
Because
that's
he went out on a date, crazy. At least he didn't, like, be creepy, like, I just really like you.
That's very creepy.
It's creepy, but it's like creepy with
I got out my house. Like, you know how long it takes me to look?
You know, you tell him Ogusi, he'll be like, oh, so you
first of all, we spoke for like a week before. You know, you don't meet. I'm not the type to like meet today, go on a date today. Like, we swipe, you talk, you like common things. Your mom, oh my God, my mom, sharing intimate details.
But when you met him, was he attractive?
Yeah, he was cute. I wasn't like blown away, like I said. It was like, okay, nice guy. And even with the profile, it was more, he seemed like a nice person.
Right.
But he was cute. Nothing. But
right.
Just,
so if he hadn't said that weird ass shit,
I was prepared to go on a second date. I was like,
going
to
see
the
how
first
shit
date wasn't amazing because it seemed like he was shy. But he was speaking like really interesting things. We had like conversations about like politics to comedy to shared humor interest. It was pleasant.
Right.
But it just pleasant. But I was like, okay, I don't think I want to judge off a first date because it wasn't horrible or bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. You know, and he was like, well, to be fair, just for me, this was kind of like a bucket list or like not bucket list, but like I just wanted to see.
I just wanted to see if Coconut Kells was like if it's a catfish, like there's no way this is Coconut Kells, right?
Yo, that day I was like, okay, cool. Thanks.
You shouldn't have said that. That's so strange.
That's so fucking weird. Because also, even if it was like,
it's not.
It's weird.
Unless he's a super fan, then he'd be like, but obviously, he's just like a guy who knows that you're famous and maybe likes your work. Not like some.
Because I wanted to see what you were like in real life to see if you were like the character. That's kind of like what he was saying.
Then you're going to like link up with you and you just like,
and
then
like, oh, how's it, guys?
And be like weird.
On a date.
That's so strange.
Fuck you, actually.
So yeah.
But yeah, that was weird.
But then I got off Tinder very quickly. So that was my immediate experience of it. And I got it on because I actually started dating somebody in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I deleted it. And
so
I've never done it.
You met online?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So where did you meet this person now?
Back then. Mm. The other dating app, Instagram.
Okay. So they hopped in your DMs or you hopped in theirs? Or it was like.
We followed each other, but then they made the first move at the time.
Okay. That's happened to me before. I've actually been quite surprised how willing I am to go on dates with people from Instagram, just because I'm like, I don't know you, but there was a thing that I reposted like today or yesterday that was like, we don't just ignore your DMs. First we go to your profile and then we ignore you.
Of course.
It's very much like,
you gotta go see a little bit.
About,
if,
like,
if all these pictures are surfing.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way every single one of your pictures looks like a funeral cover.
Exactly. Like, one camera. We're your friends. This is what you're interested in. Oh, he hikes. Okay.
I hasn't posted a picture since like 2013.
Exactly.
So, like, I don't know. I'd like to know what you look like right
all
now.
The time. I can't.
You know what?
Can't.
You actually can tell a little bit about somebody's Instagram.
You can
especially
tell
when they're
a
not,
lot.
When they're not curated. When they're not curated.
No, but I think you can because curated also,
you can tell what kind of
overly curated kind of, people are irritating.
What I mean is digital creators and somebody who positions themselves as a digital creator, content creator. So they're always trying to put some foot forward, even if they get it wrong.
Yeah.
So you can't judge them too much. You can be like, oh, you're a poor content creator.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you need help with your grid type situation. Versus if it's just a regular person who's not into that accountant.
Yeah.
And you go to the here profile, you can tell a lot about the person when you get there. Like you said, if it's just a nigga and selfies, even if I get a nigga's problem, I'm like, you're joking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want me to look at?
Or if it's just like horrible things, like, I don't know, pictures of, like, there was this guy who posted pictures of cars, but it wasn't his cars. It was like, like, you know, those guys who are like, my car on the, like, when you're young.
Like when I was seven.
It felt like he was playing that game. I was like, oh, you're a car dealer. No, you're not like selling and like, what is the point? Like, this dream journal of yours that's online is weird.
But let me tell you something about making the first move, right, ladies? Mm-hmm. I think I would encourage it. You know what I'm saying? I know I would encourage it. I would encourage a lot of you ladies to make the first move against the guy because you guys do a lot of vetting. Guys don't do vetting. Mm-hmm. The vetting that guys goes do is like, yo, bro, she's hot. You see? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like when you guys post those long stories and the videos where you're talking, even the guy who's as a crush, you just prick neck. She's talking about relationships today. Like, so you don't even like try to stop to like get to know you as a girl that she really likes. Like, oh, let me hear what she's saying. Or she likes to talk about her family a lot. Let me try and get involved with this girl so I can meet her when I start a conversation somewhere. Niggas will just be like, post another hot picture. You know what I'm saying?
But our problem will be like, oh my God, how was your trip in 2017 to visit your mom?
Exactly.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. don't know that. I'm not supposed to know that.
So you guys have been adverting, and niggas will say about a bunch of dumb shit. So you've already in your mind canceled a nigga because he said some shit, and you're like, I know exactly where this is going. You know what I'm saying?
Small things can give you the ick.
Yeah. So it's the smallest things where guys are like, why do bitches always? And it's like, well, that's the end of that.
Females. Zip.
Exactly. So you guys are already, if you have a crush on guy or you think he's nice, you guys already see the way he speaks, mm-hmm. see the way he posts, Twitter even more, because then you can see how he thinks, the thing, the topic he engages in, whatever. So people, over a period of time, yeah. with a guy that they somewhat like, have already built a profile. Mm-hmm. Niggas are just looking at women. Oh, look at all these beautiful women in the world.
Yeah.
That's literally when he really wants to make a move, then you look a little bit closer.
Yeah.
But then you never even know if she's in a relationship or not.
They don't really care though.
Yeah,
they
that's true. Really. But no, but I'm talking about when
actually,
a guy really likes a girl.
Both girls and guys don't really care.
But I'm
going to
really,
work and win.
Yeah. I guess if you're like, look, if there's somebody there, then I'm willing to take them out.
Yeah.
Which means you're coming there with a serious chat.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. People were literally going in and be like, I want to take this person on a date. And I hope if everything is what I imagined, mm-hmm. I hope me and this person like strike it mm-hmm. and hit it off and whatnot. Women, like I said, you guys do the better vetting. So you do the better approaching. You know what I'm saying? In terms of like approaching a guy who you think like, because when you take that risk, you take it off the fact that I think this person is half decent.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen so far, I would at least like to go have drinks with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And maybe you think this guy, there's probably no chance he'd ever ask me first. You girls know this, but like I'm saying, you guys know this. So you've thought about this very well at home with the guys that you think are in a list of at least I would go hear him out over drinks. He seems like a pleasant guy. Mm-hmm. I can tell that he works. La-di-da-di-da. If you're going to give that guy a chance, I promise you, ladies, the best thing you can do is for you to slide into that nigga's DMs. Yeah. But, and I'll give niggas similar advice as well, but how you slide in the DMs is the important part.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because there's people who do it on some real shit or something. Yeah, I can't wait to suck the brown off your dick. And you're like, whoa. And Tammy's saying, God damn it. It's 9 in the goddamn morning. You're talking about sucking the brown off my dick. What is this? You know what I mean?
Oh like, my God.
So even as much as niggas are always like love sex and are always talking about sex, when a woman comes to them and they're overtly sexual, it knocks a guy the wind out of him a little bit. He's like, I just know how to react.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, I get off at 6. I don't know. God damn, this is so off the bat. And when a girl approaches a guy and it's like it seems overtly sexual, he and his man tells himself, oh, she definitely only finds me hot, or she only wants to sleep with
me. Also, some of the guys like dicks are not attractive necessarily. Don't send a dick pic. It's not what you think it is.
This
it's
is the one really phenomenon I have never truly understood as niggas. The amount of women that have come out to
come
say
out.
That. I mean, I remember Nadine Akai once said that her inbox was filled with niggas sending her dick pics. I said, filled? Filled with dicks? That's objectively, one dick pic too many. You know what I'm saying? So if niggas
also, because if you're a sexual person or you have that kind of brand, like I speak about sex quite openly on my timeline or whatever. And so people have boxed me, some people, as a certain type of person, which shame, it's very wrong, but whatever. and they'll just send dick pics. Like some of them, it was even one that was like, rate my dick. Or
okay.
And I was like, this is not attractive. First of all, if you like someone, and only if you like them, videos are much better than photos, stills, because this is never going to be what you
think.
Are you mad, fam? It's never going
to
be what you think it is. Like, anyway, all right.
So, sorry, I was saying on that point, Oguti. So I think being overtly sexual is something all people must leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Whoever that you're hitting, don't come in there. Unless you're on OnlyFans DMing somebody or it's happening.
Also maybe unless you just want that.
If you want it, but like even give that
even
a chance.
Then, yeah.
Just like whatever it is, don't enter with that.
Yeah.
Just enter like a normal fucking human being on some, hey, how
the
you?
The best thing to do is make someone laugh. Or maybe that's just me. But I
absolutely.
Feel like... The
easiest thing you can do is try to make somebody laugh. So whatever that they're posting to get them to giggle about something, especially obviously follow you now, so they would interact with you and see your DM.
No, but even if they don't, because like sometimes you can just
sometimes you go see what's going on.
I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
I saw him on your story, I'm gonna go say what's up.
But enter there with a simple joke, a simple quirky thing that's not corny. Don't try too much. Again, don't make it sexual. You know what I'm saying? And then literally tell the person, oh my God, like, you know, I think you're so, I think you're a good looking person. You seem like you have a great personality. I've been following you for a while, you know, and I've been, you know, I've been trying to say what's up and I've been a little bit shy to do it, but you know, I hope you receive this message in the way that I intended, which is just for us to go out, maybe have a drink, get to know each other. Oh, no holds barred. That's it. Like, how soft is that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would like it if someone chats a bit. Like, of course. Make me laugh for like a week. No, I don't want you to be like, hi, let's go for a drink tomorrow. I'm just a bit like, who? Just wait. I need to know you a little bit.
Absolutely.
But like, by a little bit, I literally mean like a week of talking is enough for me to be like, okay, on Saturday, let's go for a drink.
Absolutely. And that's easy as well, because it starts with interacting. Mm. So if somebody's posting stories that either warrant interaction, or it could be something interesting. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're gonna be smart or some shit, then say some interesting shit about some, when somebody posts something. Like, maybe they could be at a lodge and you're like, oh, I see that you're at Mangaung Lodge there by the thing. That's such a dope place to go.
Yeah.
You should go check out the river lake on the other side. A lot of people don't know about it. Like, say some shit.
Just Google it and say some shit.
Say some shit. Where it's going to be like, oh shit, I didn't know about that. Actually, we're actually going to tomorrow. Like, show some interest about that person's interest.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just something normal.
Listen, for me, online dating has only worked overseas, but it worked. I want to talk about the last thing before you leave. Time is already up. Like, time is already kind of fucking up.
For hours, girl.
I know. But we have a time limit. Anyway, not really, but you know, it's time. The last thing I want to talk about is ghosting versus breakups. Uh-huh. Because obviously now we started at the beginning, you know, full circle.
Now it's over.
Do you prefer, okay, let's say, when is the time that is okay to ghost until? So I read somewhere, and I think it's very wrong. I don't agree with this, but this psychologist lady was like, up until 9 dates, it's okay to just ghost. Or up until 5 dates, ghost. 9 dates, text. After 9 dates, it should be at least a phone call. But are you like a ghost? Have you ever ghosted anyone? Have you ever been ghosted?
When I was younger, I ghosted somebody. But I'll tell you,
I've ghosted before too.
When I was younger, I ghosted somebody. Mm-hmm. And I remember this particular, because it was back home. So I'd moved to Joburg, mm-hmm. but I kind of was sort of seeing somebody. Mm-hmm. And this is now I'm 20, 21. I was kind of seeing somebody back home in Mafikeng, where I'm from, but not really, but kind of, but who knows, you know what I mean? But when I moved to Joburg, I just stopped talking to her. But in my mind, I was just like, I was moving to Joburg. Like, what do you think? But
Locked
only
distance.
Later, and thank God she checked me back then. Because if she didn't check me, maybe I would have made it a habit.
Yeah.
Because she checked me, and she checked me maybe 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? You know what I'm saying? I leave, I go home, I can't move to Joburg, I move on with my life, whatever. I never say anything to her. Mm-hmm. She wasn't my girlfriend, but she feels slighted. But she doesn't say anything. She doesn't text me about it. She also is like, oh, okay, this is how we're kind of rolling. When I see her 2 years later, sober as a judge, she pulled me to the side at some point. She's like, what you did was fucked up. She's like, what the fuck, dude? You know what I mean? Like, we were rolling this way. Like, sharp, I know that we're not dating, but like, we started seeing each other and, you know, you come to my house, I go to your house. Like, and then all of a sudden, you went to Joburg, and then I think when I left, I didn't think I was going to stay permanently that long. Because I thought that was the trip before the trip.
Yeah.
But I ended up not coming back. So in my mind, maybe I was making excuses on some, I guess maybe when I come back, I'll go holler at her, whatever. But I probably would have done the same thing again and just left. You know what I mean? And just not continue the conversation with her. Because I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to Joburg New Horizons. You know what I'm saying?
Not Archie,
who knows what's going to happen? So she just told me that. And I was like, and I honestly never saw that check coming. Like, I thought I was going to see her, maybe even high five. Hey, how you been, stranger? You know what I'm saying? That, we back home. we back home type love. But she and I were not friends at home. So we'd never been in the same friendship circle anyway. So she had to like sort me out at a party and come to me and be like, you know what? Actually, let me talk to your black ass outside. Mm. And she told me straight up, like I said, she wasn't like drunk or one of those, why did you do this to me? She was doing some, actually, what you did actually hurt my feelings. Mm. And I thought I was over it until I saw your fucking black ass face at this place. And I had to tell you to your face that what you did was, and she didn't sound bitter about it, but the way that she approached it and she told me, I was like, I'm just not going to vibe that way to anybody ever again. At the very least. So even when things have been shitty, when things have ended, when I didn't want to see anybody anymore, I felt like,
at least a conversation.
This has to be a conversation.
It doesn't even have to be a conversation. Over actually, the phone, even just a text.
Exactly.
Because I'm not good at over the phone or in-person vibes. I don't, like, it's awkward for me. Yeah. I do prefer text. But I'm just like, I've done the ghosting. I've been ghosted. It's actually, insane to do that to someone. It's horrible.
It is. And I guess people will take it on what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Also, what's wrong with me? Where did I go wrong? There was this lady who said she's been ghosted before and she fine tooth combs or fine comb tooth, whatever, goes through everything day by day. Like, okay, I said this, then I said this, then he said this. So where did I go wrong? Again, okay. And just keeps trying to find where she went wrong. And I think we all do that when you just suddenly talking to someone, it's been going well, and then there's a ghost. You definitely like, I must have said something. It must have been the way I looked that day. It must have been, yo.
Absolutely. And anyway, with guys, it can be, I guess actually with both, with everybody, mm-hmm. it can be the same, similar type of thing. Because mm-hmm. we live in the age of social media, people mm-hmm. are constantly stalking each other. So one very new way of that the reason people ghosting that I found is that people start seeing each other. Right? And because mm-hmm. we don't fucking know each other, you never know who the people that I post are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you meet somebody, maybe you go on a couple of dates and then you're like, oh, sharp, okay. Let's say it's over the weekend. Mm-hmm. All right, great seeing you again. We'll chat in the week, or maybe I'll be away, but next weekend I'll be back mm-hmm. and then I'll text you and then we'll see what's up. And I'm like, all right, cool, sharp. And then you're going to have, let's say you're going to shoot for a week in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. I'll touch you when I'm back in a week or two. And that time while you're gone, maybe you're now in Cape Town, you hang out with friends, you post another guy, whatever, and that guy feels bitter. Does she have niggas just lined up? That's the insecurity thing that starts to creep up. Because we live in these times where people play games a lot. Mm-hmm. It's always online. People are being vague. They always want to seem like they're in with the, you know what I'm saying? And like, especially if you're single, then it's like, look at me. I'm in a place filled with bottles and girls. And look at me. I'm this at the beach. It's like the girls at the beach are my girls. You know, like this. Everyone wants to seem as if, even when I'm alone, I'm really alone. It's a choice. You know what I mean? So people always take it to the furthest thing. Mm-hmm. All this shit we'll be reading every single day on Twitter, the constant conversations about relationships, all the cheating scandals, every other person's experience, mm-hmm. people now apply to themselves.
Yeah.
So you become insecure by association, by things that have nothing to do with you. But because you read them every day on social media, like, oh, when she goes, she doesn't want to talk to you for a week, it means that, remember what they said that time? Remember, your brain is doing that already. You're not doing it in real time or consciously, but you're like, this girl thinks I'm stupid.
Yeah.
She's going to go to Cape Town, go out and hang out with a bunch of niggas at the bungalow and like it's supposed to be chilling. Mm. You know, and how I can, again, doubling security if she's like, oh, I see she's living lavish even. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Someone
flew her out. So she got flued.
A lot of niggas ghost off of insecurity.
Yeah.
Because if you're a girl and you're at home and you're thinking to yourself, what? And especially if you and this guy haven't even slept together. If the guy wanted to sleep with you and like ghost you, that's, I guess, fucking 19 years old again, sharp. But for a lot of more older guys, when they do it with a girl that especially they haven't even slept with or haven't had, and they genuinely liked her, and you guys felt like, well, everything seemed to have gone right.
Yeah.
Maybe we had fantastic dates even. Me and this person chat a lot after you. Yo, I got some work to do. You need to relax a little bit. Every time it happens like that, a nigga, he started stalking you and there's something that poked at him. There's something
instead
that
of
poked
being grown.
Him. More often than not. And because it's new, niggas don't know how to be open. Because now what is he supposed to ask? Who's the guy? I went 78 slides down. So let's go. It says here, 2nd September, location. Cape Town, somewhere on the beach. And you're chilling with this guy. You even tagged him. Who the fuck is Manuel? I just like clarity on Manuel. Yeah.
So he's now like, you have to be vulnerable.
You have to be vulnerable, exactly. And niggas can't be vulnerable. They can't ask. He just started seeing you. You can't ask the guy that he just saw you on the gram. Is that your friend?
Exactly. Are you dating more than one? Where am I in the...
And because niggas don't know, they end up asking the most insecure way. That's why that's the screenshot that ends up on Twitter. Guys, I went on 2 dates with this nigga. He sees me on thinking with my brothers, and then look at how he talks to me. I don't like girls that are always surrounded by niggas. I'm not gonna call you again. Full stop. You know, niggas act out. They don't even know like his head is hot. He doesn't even know how to express his feelings properly, so everything is a fight.
Yeah,
you can't just like be like, hey man, let me let you know how I feel about something. It's a little bit awkward for me to say this, but. Okay. Jealousy, wada, you know.
I need to grab this from you before you go because you did segue. Why are you guys not doing the work then? Or what does it take for a guy to just, first of all, because I feel like people don't take breaks between relationships, men. But what is it going to take for you guys? Because a lot of questions also had to do with like lacking empathy and like why you treat people you purport to love like this.
Yeah.
It's different it's not really different, but obviously if it's someone outside their shop, but why is it that it's the people you love the most that you treat like absolute balls? what is the work that is required, and when is it going to be done?
There's definitely work required, and the simple work that is known, of course, to everybody therapy. Is therapy.
Because there's also weaponized therapy now. With Jonah Hill, yeah, when he was now like using therapy against...
Niggas are in therapy going...
They're just using the words. Oh, gaslighting?
Say what?
I must use that.
Oh, I'm going to say this
manipulation.
Shit.
They're just learning the phrases now.
Absolutely. The real work that needs to do is needs to be done by niggas with niggas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's how we treat each other. Mm-hmm. Everything just starts there. To be quite honest, it's just niggas need to form better friendships, mm-hmm. and they need to form niggas are the people who are strapped to situations and they feel like they're stuck there and those are their people and nothing else will ever change.
Yeah.
Because you know what wrong is. Mm-hmm. Everybody has felt it. We know it ourselves as adults now, right? When you're doing something wrong to somebody, if you have any sort of conscience that you can be like, oh, you see someone doing wrong and you choose to ignore it, you do think about it. You're like, yeah. I said nothing, I did nothing, and I feel like I'm just ignore this and it'll go away. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with this thing. It's not my issue. You didn't do that to me. Yeah. She didn't do that to me. You know what I'm saying? We tell ourselves so many things to avoid dealing with the real shit. Because the real shit might mean that you have to let go of some people in your life. And nobody wants to get there. You know what I'm saying?
It's very, very hard. I had to let go of a whole group of niggas because
people don't want to get to that point. When you start doing the real work and if you actually say, hey, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I'm perfect. With all the shit that I've done, I want today to be the last day. Mm. And moving forward, I actually want to do a little bit better and treat people better and have better relationships. That comes with a lot of loss. And a lot of people aren't ready with that. It's not just the pain of dealing with your own traumas, mm-hmm. how far back they go. There's that already hard step that you must take, but that's a private one that you speak to somebody. But how you react outside of therapy now, when you have to interact with certain human beings, people are scared of change. Mm. Society is trying to say, oh, you know what I'm saying? And it just has you by the balls. Mm. And literally by the balls. And niggas are sitting there as if they can't walk, they can't do anything. So people are telling them, you're not going anywhere. Mm. This is who you, these are your people, this is your family. Family sticks together, friends stick together, people have each other's backs. There's all these military codes going on, and it's just like, what the fuck, man? You know what I'm saying?
Usually gets brought up when a man is abusive in some way or GBV-ish. It's absolutely. Like, that's when the code is really...
That's when it's, hey, man, what are you going to do?
Everybody just drop me. Yeah, and because you beat up your girlfriend, are you mad?
And there's this new narrative that niggas are trying to form where it's like they're the victims. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was about to say that. Oh, my God. I spoke about this yesterday.
Women are doing this to us, and women lie about everything, about abuse and this. And, hey, guys, you remember that guy last week? You remember he was acquitted? Or remember that person there, that person?
Remember that one girl one time who lied 7 years ago?
Exactly.
Women be lying. So over all the stats of GBV.
Niggas are out to find mistakes, we can find them. And of course, there's women who do things.
Yes.
But that's the fantasy world that you want to live in if you want to make women a problem. You know what I'm saying? And now niggas are starting to find new words to quiet niggas. Now you're a simp. And now you're trying
being
to...
being a nice
person. You know what I'm saying? You're being a decent person. Or no, you're being a simp. Or you're bending to this. Or you're bending to the feminism. Or you're pretending, nigga. We know you in real life. There's all these things, like I said. And now niggas don't know what to do because they're like, maybe I should just shut the fuck up, which is what niggas end up doing. Whatever it is that they do, whatever is happening in society, whatever is like, you know what? Everything that I just told you, I'm just going to shut the fuck up because I know this conversation is going to lead and I don't have the balls to deal with the real shit.
There's nothing else to say after that. Mic dropped. Sipo? Thank you so much. I have so many other questions to ask, but we just can't get there today.
I know we segued so many times, but also went deeper into
but
other
also
things.
Great, because I didn't want it to be like QA.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad. I think at some point you will answer what are the red flags and green flags, because that was my next question, but we don't have time today. I'm really, really sorry. Maybe I'll get him to answer it on Instagram Live or something before this episode.
We'll do a part two later.
Depending on how people
receive this. If they really want it, they must let you know, and then we can just
like
do it.
Part two, maybe the last episode, because you are the first episode of the season. Thank you so much for making time. If you'd like Sipo to come back for the last episode to close out the season when we've done other episodes to answer some more questions, let me know. But thank you so much for making time.
An absolute pleasure.
Now Wendy was here season one, you here season two. We have to find someone for
the
season
whole
three.
Family.
You have to bring me another family member.
Auntie? I'm going to talk to my auntie.
Maybe. Auntie Mochi? Let's go.
You can ask her, why do you guys talk to us like that when we're getting married?
On the marriage.
Take aunties to the top. That's what you must do. You must have a topic with just aunties here. You're like, why are you treating
why
young
are you
girls
the way
like
you
this?
Are?
What? Yeah, exactly.
Why do you hate us? Because that was actually one of the questions for you. They were like, why do men hate us? I was like, oh. Hey,
the frustration from the questions, they all one line. Listen, like,
people
why?
Were just like, why?
Literally, the question is why? Yeah, why? Why everything? Why exist?
Thank you so much, Seeps. This was actually really good, as you can see.
It was good, and I enjoyed my Hennessy.
Me too.
What do we say the name is? Hennessy and some thangs.
Okay, because I forgot.
There we go.
Yo, it's been a while.
Hennessy and some thangs. Hennessy and some thangs.
I'm going to find the recipe. It's actually quite nice. But yes, once again, thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been the first episode of season 2 of Convos and Cocktails. Oh, it feels like you have something to say.
Oh, is it ad-libbing in the bag? I was like,
like, you want to shout out something? Yeah, thank you so much for coming. And chills. Season 3 Convos and Cocktails produced by Lesuga Tlhabi and WMG and recorded at Vodcast TV Studios. Remember, this podcast is streamable on Spotify and other major streaming platforms.